Father in heaven, thank you once again for this day, Lord. Lay aside, set aside for us, Lord, to come together and together in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day. And just to think of this precious day, Lord, the day that our Lord Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. And then ascended to heaven to sit upon your right hand, Lord. To ask you all the authority that you have invested upon him, Father. And we are thankful, Lord, that all that which was invested in him, Father, we now behold the attributes that is godly. What Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness. And truly, Lord, in Christ Jesus, Father, we see your face. Behold your word. Behold your grace, your love, your mercy, and everything that thou art, Father, to us, Lord. And we are so grateful that we can cry unto you and call you Father. Amen. Truly, we thank you for this time that we have. Appreciate it, Father. And we ask that you come, Lord, and break down the word of life to us now and make us to understand a little bit more things that we need to know. In our word that we live in now, we commit this time to you now again, in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Now, we are still on this series on mystery on silence, because we want to touch on some of the things that a little here, a little understanding of the word. Let's turn to the book of 2 Timothy first. I want to read this chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 1 to 14.
It is known also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, hasty, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and ever able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as James and Jairus withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. For they shall proceed no further, for the folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecution I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivers me. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them.
Amen. And I think that this word, this passage of scripture has been read many times by many Christians, but I wonder how many Christians take serious thought to those few verses in the first part. You know, look at it, and we are living in perilous time. This is the last day. Paul is not talking about his day. He's talking about the last day. Perilous time shall come. And then the man will be lover of their own self. And I think that many people are, we all love ourselves. You don't hurt your own, you don't hate yourself. But the problem is you love so much of yourself that you satisfy the flesh more than you you know, satisfy the spirit of that which God wants you to. We satisfy our body. When we are lazy, we just say, okay, I just want to sleep. I just want to get up to go to work, or even to go to church, or, you know, do anything. Or they even want to go and do exercise. You know, we just want to let this body feel the pleasure of being relaxed, because exercise is hard work. Is that not true? Going to work is hard work. Getting out of bed to go to church on Sunday is hard work. Or come to church on Friday is hard work. Because this is all. So our body, we just let ourselves sense, you know, fall in love with this body. In verse 2, it continues to say, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemer, disobedient to parent, unthankful, unholy. And I think this is quite common also as well. Boasters, covetous, proud. In verse 3, without natural affection, truth breaker, false accuser, which is pretty common, especially the entire message. Huh? And we have incontinent. You know what incontinent is? Of course, in the hospital, in medical term, incontinent, when you say the patient is incontinent, means to say that he just, you know, just pee anytime, you know, and saw his own pants and diapers and all, you know. So he's incontinent. But the word incontinent here in the Bible means out of control, self-control. There's no self-control. When a patient is incontinent of his motion, means they have no control. But a lot of Christians are incontinent because they have no self-control. They burst out, you know, accusing. They get angry very quickly. And these are the things that is very common. Okay, the Bible talks about fierce. Now let's continue with that. Despise of those that are good. Yeah, that's quite true. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lover of pleasure more than lover of God. Having a form of godliness by denying the power thereof, which of course we know is concerning the word. Okay, it's only the word that can change us. Alright? That has the power. And Paul continues to talk about this kind of person, how they are like Jannes and Jambres. Now we read this just to have a background. Okay? And in verse 13, evil men and seditious shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Remember this. We are talking about the events now in churches. Because, you know, here we are not preaching about the gospel, that Jesus saves you, that Jesus saves you, come and take the gospel and offer you. No, we are not talking about evangelical gospel. We are talking about the word of God. Because this is the hour where we are going to have the early rain, where we are going to have teaching, we are going to let you be aware of the perilous time that we are living in. And a lot of people just don't care. It's so sad. I get email, discuss with people, they say, we just stay at home, listen to the tape and program. The program says it's true, that's okay, and all of this. They do not know the hour that they are living in. You know, program in his time, in his day, he preached a message knowing the message and the hour, right? Correct. But do we know the message and the hour that we are living in today? We're already beyond 50, 60 years after program passed away. And people are still holding to all those things. That message of Barman goes out to call the people out of denomination, come out of bondage. When you come out of that, you go back to the Word, and that's when you get matured in the Word of God, being perfect in the Word of God. But no, we don't need it. Bob Barman said, it's all there, that's all that we need. And how sick can it be? You see? It's very common to hear people say, I'll take the words of Brother Bram in the spoken word rather than the Bible if I'm given one or two choices of the books. Very sad. And these are the people that go around deceiving people. You know. But Paul encouraged us in verse 14, for those who know, say, but continue though, thou, continue, you continue in the thing which you have learned. Don't be shaken. And thou hast been assured of knowing of whom you have learned from. And you know these people are Paul talking to Timothy, and you know Timothy is one of his disciples. You know. What do you call it? Messenger boy, we'll say, you know. Timothy, Titus, Silas, very close to brother Paul. And they have learned from Paul. And we're sure about the thing that they received from Paul. Now let us read another verse, 2 Peter. 2 Peter and 1 verse 12. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Now, what present truth? It means right now, the moment, this moment. Present truth is not just what Brother Branham said 50 years ago, 60 years ago, or even 70 years ago when he started preaching in the 1930s. You know how long that is, huh? Present truth is what God is giving you now. That's why God told children of Israel, when they were out there in the wilderness, you gather the manna that is given you. You cannot take more than you need, because tomorrow, if you keep them, tomorrow you'll rot away. God wants something that is fresh for you. Right? You see. And that is only temporary. As I already told you, I told you this. Manna is only temporary. That's what the word manna means. What is it? What are you eating? God sustained you out there in the desert till you come and cross the river Jordan into the promised land, into the promised wood that God promised you. There you eat the old corn of the land. Something hard to chew. You know, corn is hard. You have to chew on it. You know, you have to grind them and chew on it. But the manna is very wafer-like, you know. You just probably put in a mind, probably will dissolve. And that's it. To sustain you for that moment. You know, when I was in the denomination, I was sustained by what I held out there until the message came. And get out and come right back to the wood. I want you to know this. Now, with this in the background, that we must remember to be in the present truth, and with what Paul said also to Timothy regarding the day that we live in, the condition that we have. Now I want you to know that there are so many crazy doctrines or propagations of so-called revelation. Well, some of these revelations have been, you know, been going on well in the past, in history. But it picks up in the last day, and many of these you can see on the internet. I believe you are aware of it. And, well, of late, two or three brothers sent me email and on WhatsApp as well regarding this false Jews theory. I don't know how many of you have it. I don't want to forward it because it's just pure nonsense. But these people that who taught this, they're very educated people. They are historians. Sometimes they call themselves perhaps. And there have been this propagation that some of the brother asked me. He said, Brother Gann, I begin to wonder whether this is really true. Perhaps there is something to it. And the theory is that about, if I'm not mistaken, 90% of the Jews that are in Israel today are fake Jews. You understand me about fake Jews? And they claim that these people tell that they do not even genetically, they don't even have Jewish blood. Which is not true. But you know, if you do not know, of course you believe it. And they try to prove it that people are Rothschild. You know, and people like, you know, all those so-called Jews, you know, those names ended with Jews, Jewish name, Einstein, you know, Einstein, things like, what is Stein? And other names that you come, probably would know that they are Jewish. And they said that they are traced back, these people are not true Jews because they were from Kazakh. Somewhere out there in the area of Turkey region, Kazakh Empire and all that stuff. And migrated. Those then that did all the history, how did they migrate to Israel and they stayed there and claimed? And later on said that they were Jews. And they will come from the book of Revelation where, you know, where the Lord gave the revelation to John and said how that these people claimed to say they were Jews. They were not Jews and tested they were not Jews. They will take the verse and show it. Yeah, you know one thing about this, I was asking, you know, the brother who sent me the video and I sent it to him, I said, what if these people believe that they were the Jews up there in Israel, 95% fake Jews, they're not real Jews, where then on earth are the Jews? And now we're going to wonder whether these people propagate this, well, are they the same as people like the who believe in Armstrongism? You know Armstrongism? You know Armstrong? The one who produced the Brain Truth magazine, which no longer exists. And I think now it's just somebody took over, a second took over and called it the Trumpet. Who believed that the lost 10 tribe, the truth is released, are all there in Europe, in America, in England. And all those Jews that are out there in Israel are busted. I think. You know. So interesting, isn't it? But you can easily prove whether a person is a Jew or not by taking the blood and do a test. You know. Yeah, but the question here is this. How come the Jew that we see today have different kind of hair and even colored eye? Huh? Let me say this. The Jews do not have colored eyes. They have black hair or dark brown hair. The skins are not fair. But all those who call themselves Jews, how come they are fair and they are white? You must understand that if going back into crossbreeding, when the Jews, look at this today, there are Jews in Ethiopia, right? How come they are black? How come you are Indian Jews? True, when a father, when a man marries a woman who is not a Jew, the standard comes out. If he marries one who is a white woman, the son comes out, truly the gene will still be of the father. Very strongly of the father. And if the son married a Jewish woman, he will continue to be the same. But if the son continues to marry another white woman, and the grandson marries another white woman, the gene is going to bleed until it comes out, pop, a green eye. How many of you ever seen Chinese with green eye? I have. Very strange. Yes. It's because genetically, you know, it crossed. But you still look at the gene closely, you still find the Jewish gene. But you know this, all this, and so the question is, can you tell the truth from the fake? Because all this theory that goes out right now. And also, Brother Andrew Peary, when he was in India, the last few weeks ago, when he was in India, and he was very troubled, because when he was minister, he found out, oh, there are a lot of people now in India, in the Christian church, they are believing in this Yahshua Jesus controversy. That is to say that the name Jesus is not a true name. Do you get it? The name Jesus is not the true name of our Savior. We should never use the name Jesus. We should use the name Yahshua, Yahshua, Yahshua. And people are believing in them. And years ago, many years ago, some of the preachers there asked me, and I explained to them how the whole thing developed. But one of the preachers, Pastor, wouldn't listen. And he believed in that and embraced it. But strange enough, you know. And Brother Andrew Peary came back, he wrote an article, and I'll forward it to you. And he wrote it pretty well, a review about this Yahshua, Yahweh thing. Give you an example how the, you know, the name changes, how the pronunciation came about. Why is it pronounced like that? And I've been trying to explain to the minister over there as well, years ago, that if you truly want to say that, you cannot use any other translation. You have to only say the word Yahshua. You've got to make sure that you pronounce it right. Because anytime you intonate it wrong, you are not pronouncing it right. That's why the Jew would not pronounce, would not call up, you don't even use the name Yahweh. They call it what? They just, even in writing, they put G dash a D. They cannot pronounce the name of God. It's just a four-letter word, meaning Yahweh, Wahweh. So how do you pronounce that? You cannot even add and say Yahweh. Because you are filling in vowels, right? God says, I am that I am. Yahweh, Wahweh. That's it. And you don't, the Jews don't even want to pronounce that. Because it's so sacred. Actually, God never said, my name is so sacred that you cannot speak it. I mean, but they come out with it, religious people are like that. You know. And God told Abraham, tell them I am that I am sent you. What do you think Abraham, Moses went out there and told the people, who sent me? Send me. You know what I'm saying? The word he can't even say, and God said, tell them I am that I am sent you. You know. But people are so religious that we have problems. Religion are such a thing that people have opinion and they develop into something monstrous. So this Yahweh and Jesus controversy, you know, that anybody, they believe that some, it seems that people who say that we cannot use the name Jesus, because that's not the name of our Lord. Our Lord is Yahshua, HaMashiach. Because Yahshua is just a common name. Right? So what is the name Yahshua in Greek? Yeshua. And then over in China, Yesu? Yasuo? Karenga? Yasuo? That's Cantonese. Intonation because of the accent. Yeah, okay, but it sounds very close to Yahshua. So Jesus doesn't sound close to him, Yahshua. But it's a problem with the letter J. With the I that was soon next changed to J. But the strange thing, when we ask the Lord, when we pray, when even, you know, Brother John, Mark Lausa, even Brother Branham, and any one of us who pray for the sick and use the name of Jesus Christ, God answers prayer. You know, it's not like Skyver. There's someone trying to Skyver, you know. You know, they're not the name of Jesus, but they don't have the authority to use that name. And a lot of Christians today, you know, especially charismatic, they just want to whisper the name Jesus, 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 Jesus. But you know, you just have it. But they don't have the realization of who the Lord Jesus is, actually. Like the Bible said, they worship with their mouth, but their heart is, you know, it's far away from me. So this is the problem. Now I want to show you, I wonder how many of you have seen this in the paper the last 2 days ago. How many have seen this? Pretty interesting. You know, the problem in America today, the country is going to be such a mess. And now with all this election problem that was just recently over, and yet people are not satisfied. Anti-Trump. But the news media is the one that they are the culprit. They play a lot of, you know, sympathy and emotion on the people. So they have this news, they are bogus news. And bogus newspaper, news media. And so he spread all these lies, you know, but people who don't know that it's a lie, they think it's a truth. And so what Obama said, he said, if we are not serious about facts and what's truth and what's not, and particularly in an age of social media when so many people are getting their information in sound bites and off their phones, if we can't discriminate between serious argument and a propaganda, then we have problems. And this is President Barack Obama on the potential danger of false news reports. Can we tell truth from fiction, facts from fiction. Can we? Now I'm saying this because we are living in the world today, that there is a lot of lies. Now especially on the internet, a lot of things are propagated. People do not know they believe it to be true. You believe in aliens? Do you believe that people have been abducted by aliens? Go to the internet, go to the YouTube and find. There are people that testify. They'll tell you, I was abducted. I was not taken up there into the spaceship. They spoke so well. And there are people that believe in that. They even have photographs and even pictures to show you when the alien came. And they all, some are green lights. Said, you know, it's always green. You see, the green man. So, do you believe in it? Huh? What's so loose? Can you tell the facts from fiction? In America, especially news media have played such a big role in manipulating people. But you don't know what's truth anymore. Because the government themselves in America are also manipulating the people. You know. What do you think Bush went to the Gulf War? He'll give you his reason. What's the reason behind? Huh? And today with all the news that we have on television, and there are a lot of that I don't think you want to watch. The CNN and you know Fox News, Bloomberg and all that, I won't touch them. So a lot of them, you know, they're telling a whole lot of bunch of lies. That's the world for you. Now what we have today is in the end time. Now out there in the churches in the denomination, they are what they are. There's nothing that you can do to change them. But what we have here in the end time is that there's a lot of people that self-indoctrinate. Well, indoctrination. Self-indoctrination, you know. They're open-ended Christian out there in the world, but mostly you can find out the special end time message, which I think is the most massive movement. We have preachers and Brahma preachers, all kinds. But I want to lay something here to show you some things that have been true. Something that you have heard me say before. My experience. How, when you are a Christian, if you do not know what truth is, if you are moved by emotion, if you are moved by what sounds right, looks right, feels right, must be right mentality. Do you know what I'm saying? How many of you have seen magic show? I mean, you probably, you know, I enjoy watching magic. A sleight of hand and all that. And I suppose you like magician who has just flipped the, you know, cuts from the air. They're very fast. I've learned to do that. I find it impossible. Very difficult. You know. And I watch some of the magicians do tricks on the, you America have talents or you know that sort of thing. Some of them I know how they did it. You know, and it's the thing is a lot of deception. But the thing is, the people see they wonder how can it be possible? A man who did a Rubik's cube with all the patterns all messed up, became all there. How did he do it? You know. Of course, he's not going to tell you. And people say, that must be real, man. That's real magic. It looks very real. Have you seen a man cut into half? When I was a little boy back then, when I was in the secondary school, I believe, and there was this big magician. I can't remember his name. And I bought a ticket to sit almost right in the front, expensive ticket. And this person was on the table and saw, and the blood was filling up. But of course, he didn't separate the woman, you know. He just cut it right through. And then he put his hand out, all the intestine, he just put it up. Look very real! Because there's the art how this is thing done. But people who do not know that these are just tricks, you know, they won't tell you the tricks, the mirror tricks, you know, all kinds of tricks. But when a person is yourself, you indoctrinate yourself, you have your own opinion without looking at facts. You can't even tell facts from fiction, fiction from facts. Then you have a problem. You know, all these many years I have in this ministry, I face all this problem, and I'm still facing this problem with some of these ministers, whether it's locally or overseas. And I find very interesting that somehow the name Peter, you know, Peter in the Bible, what kind of person was Peter? And sometimes it seems that the name suits the person. The person lived up to that name. And I found that in the Bible, Peter was a person who was a hothead. Right? Yeah, I know the name Peter means a rock. I know that. It means a little rock, not a big rock, a little rock that you can pick up and you throw at people. So this is what Peter is like. I mean, he made a whole lot of mistakes, but at least Peter was sincere enough to keep his mouth shut when he was rebuked by Paul for praying the hypocrisy. You know. And when I realized who Paul was, with the kind of revelation that Paul had. But yeah, you know, I have been in my ministry for these many years. There are 5-6 Peter that I know. And practically every one of them are hot-headed and do, you know, have opinion and things like what Peter did in the Bible. There's one that my good friend, he left the message and started taking Brother Branham, went back to the Pentecostal church, and after that went back to the Presbyterian church. And then there's another one that I know I baptized many years ago. A Baptist pastor who, you know, became a charismatic, then rejected the message, wrote a book against Brother Branham, and wanted me to join him in the same ministry. But what happened to him? He committed fornication, took I don't know how many million ringgit, and flew over to Australia. And then there is another one that I know here, I mean, in Singapore, of course, very selfish agenda he got, serving his own purpose, really, you know, manipulating people. And there is another one, of course, a very Brahmic, come against my teaching. But let me tell you something about this. If you don't keep your emotion, then we really have this problem. That you will go out there giving your opinion, speaking against something that you do not know what. Let us look at this next one. See what this person said. His name is Brian Tracy. Brian Tracy, a famous motivational speaker, says of the human nature, Your beliefs act as a set of filters that screen out information that is inconsistency, that is inconsistent with them. You do not necessarily believe what you see, but rather you see what you already believe. You reject information that contradicts what you have already decided to believe, whether or not your beliefs, your prejudices are based on fact or fantasy. Remember that your beliefs act as a set of filters. And I believe that every one of us do that. Is it not true? Correct. What we have believed, we take that. Because what Barbam said, a smoking man's filter. I mean, this is our filter. Is that right? Whatever we want to believe, whatever we want to do, must be filtered through the word. So, obviously. Alright. And you do not necessarily believe what you see, but rather you see what you already believe. Now, when I was in denomination, I believe what I believe in denomination, you know. But when God opens my eye and show me the word, hey man, I cannot use the denomination, creeds and dogma to filter against God's word. Are you, you know what I'm saying, right? Okay. And then with that, also we understand that we need the Holy Spirit to help us understand so that we can separate fact, fantasy from fact. What is fact and what is fantasy? All right. Next, I want to talk about, we have nasty preachers all over the world. Oh, end time message preachers, believers, they speak against the truth. Let us go to Revelation 12:17. Now remember, this is the end time. This is the perilous time. And Satan will not rest. He knows that he got a short time, and he's going around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, destroy their faith. All right, Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Now there is a war in heaven since the very beginning of time. When Satan will come against God's truth. War in heaven is not war up where God is. War in heaven is this heaven. Do you understand? It's not where God is. It's not in outer space. It's this heaven, the first heaven. God works here. Heaven is God's throne. The earth is his footstool. The earth is where he walks, where he deals with men. That's why Jesus came. And this war has been fought for so many, eons of time. And we find that now it's getting even worse. In fact, this war is escalating. It's not going to end. It's not going to stop. And it's always against God's truth, against God's people. 2 Timothy, that we read early on in chapter 3, 1 to 14. That's why it is a perilous time. And how did the devil work? That's what Paul talks about in 2 Timothy chapter 3. The kind of work so that, among the people, high-headed, high-minded, fears, incontinence. That's how the devil works. This person, one day in anger, in frustration, he posed an allegation against Brother Nice and me. And when confronted about his allegation, he never said a word of sorry. But in fact, what he did was, he blamed it on what he heard from others. Now, let me ask you this, that's what I'm saying. We Christians, not just the minister, those people who think they are preachers, but every one of us, if you are confronted and ask a question, you better make sure that you have an answer to your faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because you see, there are many preachers out there. They are not preachers. When you ask them, are you ordained according to God? They will not tell you. And they'll keep quiet. It means something is wrong with them. Did God call you? That's not a personal thing. Paul identified himself. Peter identified himself. Elijah, Moses, Joshua, all men were called of God, identify themselves and say, yes, I am called of God. This is what they have called me to do. But many of them are not. And this man posted this on the website because he was very upset. Or because he thought, I took away Brother Nice from him. That was 3 years ago. And what he posts on the website are allegations, they are not true. I didn't know, somebody sent me, I came to become aware of it, and I asked Brother Nice, you better deal with it. And tell him If he doesn't take it down, we're going to put him, his name, in our list of liars. You know, the dangerous thing is that he put it in such a way that people who read that web page thought that they are real. And very nice people were wondering, how did he get $5 million from him? The word is put by $5 million of health insurance. I sold it and gave it to him. $5 million. People who don't know anything about health insurance, especially not, you know, African people, how many people out there they are rich enough to buy health insurance? The poor can't even have food on the table, on belly, that they're even buying insurance. They don't want to question, he changed it, he said, oh, it's 8,000. Then another time, 18,000. And finally, 1,800. What is all this? When you put something on a website, make sure that you read it through before you post it. Right? Obviously, you can. It's not a word that you speak out of turn and you blame on something else. And you sidetrack with disagreement over doctrine then. Oh, it's about me now, it's about the hand sin and no serpent seed, this out the flood, and so on. And a brother Nice called himself one of the seven thunders. And you know what? It wasn't long then when Brother Nice came, someone he knows very well from our fellowship went up to him and said, Brother Nice, my father came home and told the whole family that you claim to be a one of the thunders. Where did they come from? You know, it came from their website. You see. And I was the one he called self-exalting pastor, self-exalting prophet, who make himself far better than Brother Branham and things like that. Oh my. You know, when a man was so upset about something, you know what? I feel sorry for him, even if he were to listen to this video today. But John, he come to this, made him start to think about what he had done. We didn't expose him on the website. He never got to the point to say, I'm sorry I did this. And that's a problem a lot of people never want to say the word, I am sorry. Whether it's something that is not intentional or intentional. At least use the word, I'm sorry, I offended you, I've done wrong. Very hard. What is love, brothers and sisters? What is love? What is love? This is a serious allegation when you make put this out and then the truth is all messed up in people's life. Deceiving and deceiving others. You understand? You are a deceiver and you deceive people. And they are saying, Bergen, you are deceiving people because Brother Branham never taught this. Because you see, Branham is a Branhamite. They don't look beyond. He does not look beyond Brother Branham. I wonder the days when Moses was around and after he died, and Joshua took away. I wonder where there are those people who say, oh, Moses said this, Moses said this, Moses said this. Who are you, Joshua? You think you're better than Moses? You see how the human mind is. And even when Paul came along, I wonder how the rest of those who followed the disciple of Jesus Christ. They probably said, you think you know better than Peter? Than John or Thomas and all these others? We are living in most dangerous time. Now let us look into some of this now. Brother Clement passes by exam. Okay? He passes by exam. So today I'm going to see whether you pass your scripture exam. Okay, now the question, he posed some of this question. You know, I try all this. Two trees are not two loaves. You know, that's, you know what two trees are. The Bible says in the book of Genesis. Let us go there. And I want you to, I know you may know, but I want to see how well you understand those things. Go to Genesis now. Now, this brother came to be a minister. In fact, actually, brother now asked him, can you tell me right now, are you a preacher? Are you, God called you? No answer. If you're not a preacher and if people ask you, okay, you probably you cannot say yes, right? You got quiet. It means you know that you're not called. And I want to say this, that there are many who are doing God a service without it being God's will. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But believe God, I want to do something for God. Good, you can do something for God. You can be a deacon, you want to be an elder, sure. But remember your position. You understand what I'm saying, huh? You see. You want to start a church? Okay, good. You're not called to be a pastor, never mind. Lead the church you want to, fit down the best you know how. But learn. What do you think about Timothy, Titus, and Barnabas, right? They were under Paul's discipleship. And Paul taught them. And later on, of course, maybe they probably later realized that God had called them. But they learned first. You see. And one man told me many years ago, when there was a conflict between Brother Jackson and me, when he accused me of this and that, this man wrote to me and said, Brother Gunn, whose ministry did you sit under? Brother Jackson sat under Brother Abraham's ministry. Whose ministry do you sit under? He asked me this. You see, I told him I'm called of God. I'm ordained of God. God called me. And I sat under the Spirit of the Lord. I was in fasting. I was in studying the Word for years. Because there's no one else that I know of. And when Brother Branham came upon the scene and showed me the Scripture, I realized this is the truth. And I start reading Brother Abraham's book and listen to his message. Who do you want me to sit under? And when Brother Jackson came along, I saw him as a man I can associate with. Because truth is recognized by the Spirit of God in His Word. Alright? Is that, you understand? We can only see eye to eye with each other, only in the Word of God. There's only one lens that we can look at. And we can agree. That's the Word of God. If it's not in the Word of God, it's not. But if you're not called, then you have to sit under somebody's ministry and learn. I also find very hard that you would have opinion here and there. And it can be very scary. Oh, so brother, your opinions are correct. He said, no, my opinions are always filled, rubbish, garbage. And I told the person years ago, when he told me when he walked out of that hotel room, because he believed that polygamy was the way to go, that a man can have more than one wife. But then he called me up when your wife friend came, because he knew that your wife friend teaches polygamy, believe in polygamy. And at that time when he was on the table there, because nothing was answered to him. But already one friend told me that what he did was not wrong, so we laughed, and I think maybe a few months later or a year later, he called me up and said, this is the man who has the answer and he can explain to you that polygamy is true. He's a brother who has been in our church for about 2 years and he left because he disagreed with me on this marriage and divorce issue. But he left and he told me there's no problem. Nothing wrong with doctrine. He told Sister Aggie later on, but I don't agree, brother, again, about marriage and divorce. But anyway, he was all call me up. He said, let's go. I said, okay, let's go. And he told me that this man, this preacher, had the answer to the doctrine of marriage and divorce. And that a person can have more than one wife. And I was just laughing in my heart. We went to the hotel and then we sit there, and as you know, the preacher was sitting on his bed, lying on his bed with his hand behind his back, with his head on the headboard. And his wife was sitting on the chair next to him by the side of the bed. And me and the brother were sitting at the foot of the bed with two armchairs. You know, I have one and we're touching each other. "Oh, brother, please stop with the gun." The polygamy is true. It was a straightforward question. And the pastor said, and the preacher said, "Brother, do you believe that God never changed his mind about his word?" Because he said, "You know, brother, it's very simple to understand." I said, "Go ahead, explain." "Do you believe that God never changed his mind about his word?" I said, "Yes, sir, I believe that. That God never changed his mind about his word." "Then, brother, again, if God allowed Solomon to have more than one wife, if he allowed David to have more than one wife, and some of those holy men that have more than one wife, then you can have more than one wife, because God never changed his mind about his word." Very simple. The brother was sitting next to me, his left arm hitting my right arm. See? And I hit him hard, bam, on his shoulder. "Hold your horses!" I raised my voice, because I'm irritated by foolish nonsense. That's what I'll do in everywhere I go. When anybody speaks anything that is ridiculous, I raise my voice and be very firm. And I ask the brother, preacher, I said, "Brother, let me ask you a question." And so I was sitting next to him. You know, I don't know, many of these preachers bring their wife along. That's okay, you know. I asked him, I said, "Brother, when God created Adam and Eve, what was his commandment regarding food for them?" Oh, the woman even asked that, he was surprised, he realized. What answer would you give? Tell me, what did God tell Adam and Eve to eat? What kind of food? How? Vegetables, herbs of the field, fruits and things like that, right? He answered, was quiet. He didn't want to answer. So I said, "Isn't that true that God said the herbs of the field and the fruit of the trees?" He just remained silent. I said, "Now, tell me, what did God change his mind that we later on they can eat meat? What did God change his mind?" I asked him. And his wife looked at him, actually, the same as what happened in Ghana and in Nigeria with Hildebrand. You know, his wife looked at him and he got no answer. And I felt very awkward, you know. Then I tell him, "Brother, as far as God's perfect will is concerned, he never changes. But when circumstances arises, he permit for a time. But then when the truth will restore back, it goes back to the origin." What happened? When Jesus came, the church started. Even you can see that Paul do not allow a man who is a polygamist to hold office. You know what I'm saying? Polygamy is common in those days, yeah. But when a person came in with two, three wives, already married, they're heathens, they're pagan. So Paul said, this man cannot hold office. Why? Because he got one wife to take care here, another wife to take care there, maybe they quarrel in the house. So he got enough of the quarrel. Until to deal with, how could he take care of the church of God? As a Pope forbid that. You see? And we know that from that time onward that a Christian can only have one wife until the wife passed away. You see? But now, what about the food that we eat? Now we are still eating meat, right? Of course. The Bible in New Testament says you will have it set before you. But in the millennium, that's why you have the regeneration, putting everybody back to the origin and the beginning. Back to the perfect will of God. What was God's will? You see, there must be a restitution, a restoration of what was to be like in the beginning. You know, so the brother, we went out the room and down the corridor, the brother said, "Brother, again, you're right." I said, "No, I'm a liar." Well, he was shocked. I said, Brother Abraham's a liar. Paul's a liar. He looked at me. I said, the Bible said simply this. Let all men be liar, but the word of God be true. Every time we make a mistake, we make God to a lie. Intentionally or unintentionally. You understand what I'm saying? It means we have made a lie. We have altered something which is true by our own opinion, by our own whatever we say that is not right. It becomes a lie. Just check the word of God and you see the truth. You see. So now these two, three things. Go in the book of Genesis. And we see in the book of chapter 2. And the Bible said, out of the ground, verse 9. And out of the ground make the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Alright. Now two trees, it says in the midst of the garden. One is called tree of life, the other one is called tree of knowledge of good and evil. So he said to me, what is this nonsense about two trees or two laws? You know. To him, it's so simple problem. What problem said, you know, Jesus is a tree of life and tree of knowledge, you know, it's a serpent and the devil and things like that. Hey, you people just talk like this. Then I ask him, can you tell me what and where did Brother Abraham said was the midst of the garden? You understand what I'm saying? Because the Bible says in the midst of the garden. So where is this midst of the garden? Because if you ignore this, you find that the midst of garden will be any place in the Garden of Eden. But the Bible is not talking about the Garden of Eden. It's talking about another garden. Is that right? You understand? So I ask him, what did Brother Abraham say in the book? Because he said he read the book, The Serpent Seed, the Brother Abraham preached on. I said, what did Brother Abraham say in the book? That's the first book, and in fact, I actually, not really the first book, maybe the fourth or fifth book that I actually read. That when Brother Abraham tried to explain the serpent seed, you know how he doesn't want to tell you straightforward the words that, you know, in those days, if I had to say, sexual reproductive organ, you know what I mean? If I have to say, in the midst, you know what I'm saying, the human body. If you read the book or you do something, you understand. I ask him, where the problem said was the midst of the garden? Where? He was saying, in the midst of the human body, you know, middle of the, you know, he tried my heart. So he was talking about the human body too. When I read that, I realized there's nothing but the truth. I saw the serpent seed there and there. As clear as day. You see? So where is the midst of the reproductive organ? It's the body. He never answered it. And he said, whoever have heard of a law giving life, how can a tree of life be a law and give life? Now we have the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Correct? The Bible just tells us this. A knowledge that is good and evil. Now that's kind of strange, isn't it? Knowledge is supposed to give you some understanding. But it is also a knowledge that is corrupt, it is evil. Huh? Knowledge of good and evil, not the tree of evil, it's a knowledge of good and evil. If the goodness comes first, evil comes later because it's a perversion. So now these two trees cannot be anything else, not literal trees, but the two laws that govern the human reproductive organ. One is the tree of life, but to him the tree of life is Jesus Christ. That's all that you want to know. But remember, let us remember that this is symbolism. He was asking, how can the tree of life be a law and give life? Let me ask you this question. We all know this. Well, you all drive cars or you know in the bus. And then sometimes there is a traffic breakdown. You know, traffic junction, right? Yeah, the traffic light broke down. And there is a man out there in the center of the road with the white glove on. And he put his hand up like this. When you are driving towards him, what do you do? Drive straight at him? You stop. Right? If the traffic light is working and you drive and you see the light is red, what do? You stop. Why? What's behind it? Now, if you don't have a knowledge of election, how many of you remember the film, Gods Are Crazy? The Gods Are Crazy. If you see them, the crazy African guy, Bushman, you know, and these people, one day somebody fly over the area in a Cessna plane and threw out a coconut water, huh? And hit somebody on the head and say, oh, this is a evil thing, must be given back to God or whatever, if you're going to walk on it. Now, this fella doesn't know anything about city life. Right? I think they have a sequel to it where he went to Hong Kong or something, which is even funnier. I mean, he does wear, you know, a bushman, half naked, wearing all this, and carry a little bow and arrow. And, you know, if he doesn't know anything about city life, and he came to the traffic, well, busy city, and he see the man put his head like this, hand like that, people stop, no car stop. So he thinks he can do that, he go down there. What do you think? What do you think? People are, every car will look, all the driver will come out and people pick him up and throw him. Because he's not your authority, right? You just don't go and stop car like this, put it out your hand, you think that is a magical thing. No. You see, there is something there. So everything represents something. There is a reason behind it. Let's go to the book of Psalm, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. Now he says, he asked me a question. How can a tree of life be a law and give lives? What did Paul here say? For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of the spirit of life. It's a law of life. Correct? Yeah. You know, how can a tree of life be a law? It's just a representation. It's just symbolic. And he probably, I don't know about him, maybe he think the one of these days he go up to heaven, he can see those four beasts. Or even the wheel within the wheel and all that which Ezekiel saw. You're not going to see those things. You're not going to see a creature with man's face one side, a lion and an eagle and an ox on the other side. You know what which Ezekiel saw. You're not going to see that in heaven. You're not going to see an angel with wings. I can tell you that. That's only what you see is in vision. Because it symbolizes something. It symbolizes speed. You know? Not a strange. Psalms 19. And I think we are familiar with this. And verse 7. The law of God is perfect, converting the soul. Sure. So it's not the law of the Lord is giving life to. This Bible is a book of law. Huh? The law means teaching, direction. It gives lives. But not the law, not the tree, which is the law that pertains to perversion, perverted knowledge. You don't want to feed on those. Now he said this. Brother Branham said very clearly in the serpent seed that the seed came through the flood via the wives. As Eve was pregnant with the seed of the serpent, so were the wives. Since he has used the plural terms, I can only think of at least more than one wives, which will mean the wives of Ham and Japheth. And that is why the birthright went to Shem, who was the youngest of the three. Huh. You listen what? You didn't hear what I'm saying? That's what he said. Abraham said very clearly in the serpent seed book that the seed came through the flood, through the wives. That's what Brother Abraham said. I know he said that. And so people are guessing, where then? Which woman? How many women were there in the ark? How many? Four. And he said, to the Bible and said, plural, he can only guess that out of three sons, it has to be Ham and Japheth. Because why? The birthright went to Shem. So that is his reasoning. What about Mrs. Noah? Nothing? Why not suspect her? You know what I'm saying? Okay. And then he said, I'm glad you asked how many souls came out. The Bible said 8. Does that mean the woman did not carry the seed through? Since the explanation are not given in the Bible, are we then to conjecture her committing incest? What foolishness. So he doesn't believe that the giant was a result that came from the son of Canaan. So he believed that my revelation of Ham's sin being incest with the mother is pure nonsense. Now, he continued with this. How do you know whether God caused the gestation period to be prolonged, women that are pregnant by the serpent seed man, while they were in the ark? I tell you this, and that's strange. He believed that Ham and Japhet were in the ark, the wife of Ham and Japhet were already pregnant by the serpent seed man. That means they fornicated. But the Bible said they fornicated, and this is an evil conjecture. To say that they were fornicated, and since they were on the ark more than a year, right? And we know that a child went from conception to birth is 9 months. So he's asking now, how do you know that God did not prolong the gestation period? Well, that's very nice. You see, that's the kind of man who called himself a preacher, who thinks he knows what he does not know. And he's preaching to whatever little group of that he had. Brother asked him, are you called to be a preacher? Because remember, you're going to stand before God one day, and you're going to preach to him your final sermon. Because you're going to give that account to God, right? Yes. Now, he asked him, in the first place, the Bible is very precise. He asked me this question. Does animal life have a soul? Does animal have a soul? Come on, you should know. Animal has a soul. Because what is the soul to begin with? And the problem is that the soul, the teaching of body, soul, and spirit is not taught properly. He thinks the animal does not have a soul. Can anybody tell me where to find the scripture to prove the animal has a soul? Come on, you should know. I want you to pass your test, your examination. Where? To the book of Genesis. That's the same word that is applied. In the book of Genesis chapter 8. Alright, or chapter 7. Rather. Verse 22. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, all that was in the dry land died. The word breath here means nephesh. Means the breath. It means the soul. You understand what I'm saying? It just means that. Soul means the life. If God did not give any animal the breath, they cannot live. The moment the breath is just taken, and any animal that the breath through nose, covered it up, suffocated him. What happened? He died. Huh? That's a dead soul. When God make Adam, make a body of dust for Adam. That body of dust, I don't know what you might be thinking in your head. Was it just dust? Or was it already a body like this? That God did not take the dust and make a body that we have now, huh? Was it still there on the ground? Because that body is not a living body. It's not a living soul. Until God breathed the spirit of life into it. The spirit of Adam that was formed, that was created. Going. That's your house now. Then Adam became a living soul. The Bible says it became a living soul. And the Bible says all souls that sin shall die. Of course. Now he asked me this question. He says, if yes, they have a soul, then the animal need to repent. And we say too, kind of funny. That's when we are, hopefully next week, we can deal with this universalism. Now what I said last week regarding the seed, the monogene, we'll look at it a little bit more of what God is looking for. A horse was not created in the image of God. Is that right? A horse was not created in the likeness of God. But where did the horse come from? It came from the Word. You agree with that? Yes. So why did the horse need to repent? After all, the horse never commit any sin. So he said, all animals that have a soul must repent. And we say, what is he talking? You see, when he's angry with me, because he accused me of grabbing Brother Nice from him. No. I didn't even know who Brother Nice was. I asked him, do you remember? You call me. That there is a Nigerian minister who wanted to see me. And I don't even know who Brother Nice was. And I took Brother Nice, I met Brother Nice for a few hours. He asked me a question, I answered it. He said, Brother, can I see you again tomorrow? I said, okay. Same thing. Last question, answer it. Nothing else. And how did God deal with Brother Nice? When he was angry, Brother Nice told him, Brother Gunn did not grab me. God grabbed hold of me and sent me here to Singapore. And I have the answer now. Why are people so upset? Well, because he thinks that he is somebody, I guess. That's a sad thing. I think we need to know our position. What do you think about Peter? When he played pops and all these things going on. And Paul had to rebuild him. And what do you think Timothy thought of him? I mean, what do you think people think of him? What about Titus and Silvanus regarding what Paul did in front of the elders, rebuked Peter? Probably they have something to say. You understand? So does this. And anyone need to repent and be saved too. And he said that the giants are not a result of intermarriage. Show me the words anybody know they can prove that the giant came about as a result of intermarriage. Come on, show me the scripture. You all should know. Genesis, where? The Bible clearly tells us that. I have written in my book, Ridicule, to show it to Amos, who also knows, who thinks he knows what he doesn't know. What is the verse? Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And it came to pass when man began to multiply upon the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always trouble man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, and they became mighty men, they were of old and men of renown. So he was saying that this men of renown, in one place, said they were not giants. They're all in the same passage. What causes this weakness? What causes the giant to appear? God did not blame it on the Canaanites for marrying the Setite woman. He blamed it on the Setite man for taking the Canaanite woman and hiding it and intermarriage. And this intermarriage causes giants. Of course, it didn't happen the first generation. It at least takes 3 to 4 generations before you see giants. Do you understand what I'm saying? Here it is. And he's saying that John was not resolving the marriage. Really? We're talking about jinns. Does he know anything about jinns? Brother Jackson said, I do not know about jinns. You go and study Mendel's law. Go and read about genetic disturbances. I have given you a little detail in my book. You know that there are, it's been known to be a fact, that sometimes the gene lies dormant. And then maybe 3 or 4 generations down the line, pop, the gene surfaces again. And he said it was John Dawson after the flood. How did this John come about after the flood? How did it come about? Because after all over this side of the flood, there were no more giants. The giants were all dead and destroyed. The Canaan were all destroyed out there in the flood. There were no Canaanites over this side of the flood except for the wives who are Canaanite. And we don't even know whether Ham, Shem, and Japheth's wife, you know what kind of city the Bible didn't mention about it. So we're not worried about it. But we know the Bible gives the answer. Because why? The sin of Ham surfaced. When the sin of Ham surfaced, what was it? Huh? If it was not because of his sexual intercourse with the mother, fornication, that causes Canaan to be born. And they don't understand the mystery here. And this brother even asked, brother, you think that Ham incest is true? Brother John is beating around the boundary. He didn't get to the point. But when I told him, so we all understand now. We are all certain that because he saw the light. Can anybody find so difficult to understand with all my explanation? Huh? He told me one time, he said, oh, Brother John, when I was in the meeting one time, you said that, you know, God did not show Brother Branham about the sins of Ham, but he showed it to you. You are exalting yourself so high. Wow. You know what? Let me boast. I suppose. Let me boast in the Lord. It's my privilege to boast in the Lord. Just apostle. I'm an apostle of Christ. I'm called to do this. The revelation that God has given me. Remember how he said about this? In case the army part up, God put a buffer. So that I will not be lifted up. I prayed to God 3 times to remove this. This thorn in my side, which is the pain in his eye. And Paul gets puffed up, he gets this pain in the eye. God doesn't want to hear him. Go and remind him. Stay humble. I have given you a whole lot of revelation that is true. You stay humble. But people do not understand Paul. That's why Paul said, now God sent me to the Gentiles. Because you rejected it. You are so traditional. How can you? What is Bob Ramsey saying? How can you teach spiritual thing to Pentecostal baby? Huh? You can't. How can I teach spiritual thing to end time message baby? All they know is blah 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 blah. What is that? Sad. You know what happened? Where did the giant come from after the flood? We know the incest with the mother. And you know that who is Mrs. Noah? And I proved to you about Mrs. Noah. How do you know that to be true, Barry Gunn? Because that's a revelation. And because of seed, I cannot tell you. I always show you this. And I don't think you can find it in any theological book or any minister can teach you that. Why was Naamah's name mentioned? I give you the answer. Why was Rachel's name mentioned in genealogy of Jesus Christ? Why? When a woman's name is mentioned, he has a play in that genealogy. Do you understand what I'm saying? Huh. So if Noah's wife is pure, and then there's no problem. And is the 3 sons of Noah are all pure white, so that there'll be no problem over this side of the flood. Right? After all, there's no more hybrid. But we know. The Bible tells who Naamah was. It's from the sign, from the line of Cain, Lamech. So what do we get? Obviously, when the name was mentioned, why were the three sons of Noah's wife not mentioned? Tell me why. Not even the wife of Shem, whose lineage the Messiah comes from. Why was not a wife mentioned? And many of these people think that I don't know what I'm speaking. I know the scripture better than many of you. You know one thing about this. The Bible is clear. When the incest took place, you can see that Mrs. Noah was a pure Canaanite. And Ham was already half a Canaanite blood in him. So with that mixture, how much do you think is? How much of that genes of the Canaanites is there? It's not half. 75% or more. And of course, Canaan was not a giant. As I said, further go downward and mix again, you find. In the third or fourth generation, you get giants. You know. So you understand what I'm saying? So from Canaan's descendant, you got Sidon, Heath, Havite, and Archite, and Perizzite, and Gigashite. That generation, that's where you see giants coming out. Oh, that's not clear enough. I don't know how to make it known to you. He said this. In fact, most of the article are like that. It goes around the boundary, the peripheral. But never could nail it down like the prophet. I use the word exhorted because when I was in your meeting, one of your meetings, you highlighted the fact that God did not reveal Ham's incest to Brother Branham, but he did to you. Now, as I said, let me pause. Do you know? God never showed Brother Branham the mark of King. He never did. But Brother Branham knew that what was incest, what was Ham's sin, he believed was incest. And he told it to Brother Jackson. And he even mentioned this, Brother mentioned even Levi was knows about it. You know, I was very curious at that time when I was there in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and I was with Roy Jackson. And I went, we were going to a restaurant inn and I asked him, I said, Brother Jackson, do you know what was Brother Branham's teaching on the sin of Ham? Because I've listened to his tale, I read his book, but I couldn't find anyone then that, you know, that he actually taught on it. And then Brother Jackson actually told me, he said, Brother Branham, yes. Let me tell you this, he said. He said, one day I was with Brother Branham going to the restaurant to eat. You know, and he just turned to me and he said, Brother Junie, I believe that the sin of Ham was incest. But what did he preach? I guess maybe there is reason for him not to preach. You know. So when he said that, my brother John told me that in my heart, said, that was correct. But of course, Brother Jackson don't believe in it. He believed that Ham was just laughing at the nakedness, the literal nakedness of brother of his father in the tent, which is very denominational, very traditional. Tell me, anybody ever preached on the mark of Cain? Nobody got a revelation until the Lord showed me. And because I preach it, nobody else want to preach it. Because why? That's not what Brother Branham teach. So we don't teach it. That's what the Brahma used to do. But when I see the mark of Cain as being that God increases sons to give him a defense, a protection for those who want to kill him. It is not so easy to understand. I mean, the teaching is there for you to see. It's not like what Amos says. Instantly, tap, God make him a giant. I make a cartoon. You know, see, you go out to be like that. Oh, come on. And I told him that because I never experienced with you. Until he comes out, then the Lord said, bring it all out. And common sense will tell you, how could he have a wife and have children when he suddenly becomes so big? Ridiculous. People have all kinds of idea, opinion, but cannot show from the scripture make sense. The Lord God says, Come, let us reason together. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Come and reason with me together. How can my sin be as white as snow? When I'm a bloody man, when I'm a killer. God said, come, let us reason together. And how does God reason with you? When you are like King David saying, my hands are bloody. How can a murderer be saved? And God will tell you, come, let me reason with you. You have sinned. Wages is death. You know it. I know it. So how can I be saved? God said, because I give you a propitiation. I have someone who has paid the price for you. That's what I mean by reason with God. God will show you the word. I said the law is like this, but I make a way so that you can be saved. That makes sense to you. But didn't say a lot of people in the world said, no, it cannot be. How can I just believe in Jesus and my Savior? I have eternal life. I must do some good works, you know what I mean? Give money to the poor. Go to the temple every day, or something like that. Say 5 times of prayers a day. You know, you think that by good works you can gain favor from God? And what did God say in the Bible? Your righteousness is filthy rags. There's nothing good in you. So you're born of bells, yes. I'm not exalting myself. I'm just bringing the fact that God did not show up in Abraham, and that's a fact. And God gave it to me, that's a fact. It's as simple as that. You know, Martin Luther can boast too. When he was up there as a priest and he had these penance, purgatory, and I was scared and go to confession. One day he lost him, he said, the just shall live by faith. He got the revelation. That's the Lord showed it to me. And he lit out the 95 theses against the church. How it was all wrong. How do you know it was wrong? Luther, how do you know it was all this all wrong? Because God showed to me, I'm proving from the scripture, and you see whether it's wrong or not. He knew at the Wittenberg Castle. The door of it. To know what is truth, I prove it. The marriage of the Lamb, when you have 2 pieces of garment and stuff like that. The third virgin, who are the foolish virgin? To this day, a lot of people still don't know what the foolish virgin is. Until I wrote the book on them, people said, now I understand, but again. They're not the denominational. Of course, they're not the denominational. These are virgin, they have heard to cry. They have heard to cry. They are not a Pentecostal, they are not a charismatic. Right. What about the sin of Adam? What was the sin of Adam? What did he do? My friend who was, my good friend was a barrister. So how can you say that is that Adam literally commits sin? Willfully commits sin. The Bible used the word willfully. If you read the book, I use the word, I said the Bible used the word willfully. In fact, Jesus Christ told the Father, I want to save them. Isn't it? So he stepped out of the words of the script and died. To come down like a sinful man, to identify with us and died for us. And the Father cannot say that thing because what the Son was telling him, your word said so. That there must be a lamb. You already prophesied to Adam and Eve. About a seed of a woman. You see? So what is willful? You don't know. Adam had to do what he had to do because the attribute of being a savior is in him. You see? So people don't know. Do you understand? And he said, Noah, how could Noah as a father curse his own grandson? Of course, you know, all part of you, we always think, you know, our grandson. But let me tell you this. If you have a grandson who you know is born a bastard, how do you feel about him? Of course, you will not curse him. But you keep on looking at him, you know that that is a bastard son. And that you have this grandson by your son sleeping with your wife. And that's worse. Right? When Noah recognized that this kid was son of him, but by the mother. Hard to believe. That's not what the Bible used languages. Saw the nakedness of the father. Uncovered the nakedness of the father. It's all there. That's what we talk about, mysterious. God is putting down silence on them. Nobody will know until it is revealed. To make sense out of it. Do you see that? And then he said this whole incest thing is a fabric of someone's imagination and is not biblical. And hence cannot be a revelation, even though the exponents try to claim it to be so. Oh, certainly, I call this doctrine silly because it is bottomless and destroy the idea of giant being a part of the serpent seed. He didn't understand that. Of course. You see, the giant is a part of the serpent seed, that is obvious. Because that's what happened. You see, it's a genetic hybrid and inbreeding. He doesn't know. And I don't think this brother actually read properly. In fact, many times he read and he jump here and there. Well, many more accusations, allegations that he have, you know, and presume to have. Now, in closing, let me say this. The present truth that we have, we're talking about not just hearing the word. Faith cometh by hearing, is that right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, not reading the Bible. And I say this very much, I remind you again. Do you think that by reading the Bible yourself, without going to church and hearing the word of God preached, you can get revelation? You're mistaken. Because the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by God's word. Oh, but again, I read the Bible out loud. In the beginning, God created the heavens, and I'm hearing it. I don't have to go to church. Oh yeah, so you are reading and preaching to yourself by reading. What's the revelation behind? You know the truth. Because what you know what, Paul? That's what Peter said about this present truth. You continue in it. Continue in it. Hold fast to it. A present truth. It's so sad when we have this Indian brother, Indian minister who now left this faith also. Just recently. Because he was so confused. Mixing too much with the Branhamites. All these many years I know him. And now he's attacking Brother Branham. And then he got very sarcastic. And when he wrote the email to you, he said, you and your beloved prophet. You and your beloved prophet. So I wrote back to him and said, brother, all brother and sister to me, they are beloved. So why are you so sarcastic? Me and my beloved Moses. Why don't you say that? It's a better, isn't it? You and your beloved Bible. You and your beloved Jesus. Why you talk like that? It just, you know, the way you said it, we didn't know you're sarcastic. Okay, let us go to two verses and scriptures, and then we close with Romans chapter 10:17. And I want to show you the last image, and I need to think about it for next week. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Alright. 2 Peter 1:12 again, which we read earlier on, but just to reinforce. 2 Peter 1:12. Wherefore, I would not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Alright, let me show you this last image. And I want you to think about it. Now, it's a bad image, right? Oh, just a minute. This is a seed, a diagram of the seed. All we have is a seed coat and an embryo, a zygote, and an endosperm. Three things in that. So I want you to go home. Remember this image, because we're going to talk about this. About universalism, Christian universalism. The reconciliation of all things. Restoration of all things back to Christ, back to God. We're going to use this as a background for you to look at. Alright? But four verses we close. John chapter 10. John chapter 10 verse 30. I and my Father are one. Okay? I'm giving this four passages of scripture so that you can look over these four pages, four verses of scripture, or passages of scripture, with regard to that image, and see whether you can learn something. I and my Father are one. Okay? Chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, which says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Okay. John 5, all the verses are in the book of John, because John knew Jesus Christ very, very well. John 5, 26. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so have He given to the Son to have life in Himself. 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth; the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So these four passages of scriptures, go back, look at it with regard to the pictures, and then when we come back next week, we can see whether they give you an understanding about the seed, what we call the monogene. Amen? Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, for the word, Lord, and appreciate, O Father, that you bring us to remembrance of the things that we have learned. We may forget the time, Father, but we are thankful that your Spirit guide us and give us the memory to recall what you have taught us. So we ask that, Lord, you enlighten us further each and every day, Father, in our walk with you. We commit all this to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.